Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Got snow falling out here, and I see the snow falling. It's definitely showing up, unlike the Chiefs did this past weekend. And joining us right back in the air chair, we have our two very special guests tonight. We have, first off, as always, Mr. Matt Tyler.
Alex, good to be here.
Of course. And sometimes, folks, especially in sports, you have to call for a substitute. And what better substitute to have than John Long's brother, Dave Long, on the air. Dave, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Appreciate of course. John is feeling a little bit under the weather, so we decided to call him for some backup.
A little later in the show, I'll tell you why he's feeling under the weather. And it's a huge upgrade already.
Why is it a huge upgrade already, Matt?
Well, Dave's my favorite of all the Longs by far.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, how many Longs are there?
There's quite a few.
Too many.
Too many to go through. Well, let's see. Dave, his specialty, believe it or not, is football, which we'll be talking a lot of today. We've got the Super Bowl recap, which we'll get into in just a minute. We're also going to talk Packers offseason wish list. What do you guys want to see from Green Bay this year? And then we are also going to chat with Alyssa Lampe, a Tomahawk assistant wrestling coach. We're going to take a look at the girls' regional meet coming up on Friday in Wausau West. And we'll also chat with Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee. He's going to talk about the Bucks trade deadline moves. But first, we got to talk about what happened Sunday in the Super Bowl. Let's get right into it. All right, so in case you missed it, by the way, over this past Sunday, I don't know how you can miss it with the halftime show, the commercials, all of it that was going on, but everybody seemed to show up except for Kansas City on Sunday. Eagles absolutely demolished the Chiefs 40-22. It was a dominating performance from start to finish for the Eagles. Philly was up as much as 34-0 in the second half of that game. Just a complete annihilation. This is a funny stat for you. The Philadelphia Eagles led the Chiefs at the half 24-0. Kansas City had 23 yards of offense in the first half and 24 points put on by the Eagles. Dave, you're a special guest, so I'll go ahead and start with you. What happened to Kansas City Sunday?
You know, I just don't think they were prepared for that Eagles defense. I think they came in, they kind of stunned them. I know Matt's got some stats he's going to get to in a minute on that. But on the flip side of it, we didn't see Patrick Mahomes look like Patrick Mahomes like he has in the past. I know he had some struggles this season. He had a lot of interceptions. But, you know, as a dynamic playmaker, you kind of expect Mahomes to be the dominant playmaker in that game. And Hurts wound up being, you know, the real major playmaker. So I think that was a big part of it. They just didn't seem like they were prepared for that onslaught from the Eagles defense.
Matt?
Yeah, the stat that I shared with Dave, which surprised me, and I don't know if the game ended this way, but very late in the game, they had brought up that the Philadelphia Eagles blitzed zero times and put an unbelievable amount of pressure on Mahomes. And was it that their defensive line was that good? Did Kansas City kind of have a makeshift offensive line or both? I think it was the quality of that defense. They are really good.
And I think the one thing that people need to look at is that people overlook how good of a GM Howie Roseman is in Philadelphia. He has done a phenomenal job with that organization. Very well run. He's really regained his reputation after the Chip Kelly fiasco a decade ago when he essentially let him run the team. He took it back over, and since then, they've got two Super Bowl rings now in the last 10 years. Focusing on the Eagles here, guys, it's not impressive to me the fact that the Eagles won. It's how they won. That's the biggest thing, because Patrick Mahomes, we've never seen him uncomfortable since the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay a few years ago. He was very uncomfortable on Sunday. He could not find anybody open. He was running for his life. He was crumbling in the pocket. He just didn't have any time to throw. And I think another person that deserves blame is Andy Reid. Andy Reid is probably going to go to the Hall of Fame once he retires. How in the world do you only run the ball once in the first 14 plays of a game? That's mind-boggling to me.
And they tried to make up for it coming out of in the second half, and it was too late.
Yeah, it was.
It was just way too late.
Mm-hmm. Dave,
you know, it was shocking to me that you didn't see Patrick Mahomes make more plays with his legs and open up the field and stretch things out like we've seen him do time and time and time and time again. And yeah, they didn't do nothing with a run game. You know, obviously Pacheco didn't make much of a difference in the game, and Saquon looked like Saquon, right? Just an incredible force. Obviously,
he did a nice job catching the ball. They did a nice job holding.
They did.
They really were geared up to stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Jalen Hurts killed him.
I
thought he was a little. He was nervous in the pocket to start the game,
mm-hmm.
but after a few plays, it looked like he realized, I've got a lot of time back here.
Yes, yeah. By the way, stats in the game, Saquon Barkley, 25 carries, 57 yards the whole game. If you hold Saquon Barkley to 2.3 yards a carry, you would think that Kansas City would be winning this game going away.
Yep.
But again, the thing is, it was the Eagles' defense that led Josh Sweat, who should have been MVP, by the way, not Jalen Hurts in that game, who had 2.5 sacks, was a huge impact. Him or Cooper DeJean with the pick six that essentially blew the game open. Mm-hmm. Zach Bond had an interception. And then you go to the offense, and right now, looking at that Eagles offense, I also think that it was overlooked how good their offensive line was when it comes to pass protecting. Because, as we mentioned before, you, especially, man, you've raved about Steve Spagnuolo and the job he does defensively, disguising blitzes, making sure that guys are able to get after the quarterback. And the Chiefs have good corners there. They don't have world beaters, but they've got good, solid, shutdown corners. And Jalen Hurts and the Eagles offense just picked them apart.
Yeah, and I think the Eagles did a nice job. Early on, Trent McDuffie did a nice job with A.J. Brown, and you didn't hear much from Devontae Smith. And then the Eagles started running crossing patterns, and it's so hard for a corner to stay with somebody on a crossing pattern or even in a zone. You know, you have to pass the player on to the next player, and they're finding the opening in the zone, and I thought the Eagles did a great job with it because they had time, because Jalen Hurts had time in the pocket for those plays to develop.
Dave?
Well, you know, the other thing I think that, you know, Saquon may have only had 50-some yards, but just the element of him in the game has to keep them honest.
Yes.
Not only that, but again, with Jalen using his legs the way that he was, you know, they have so many weapons they have to be ready for, and they couldn't cover everything.
That's a very good point. So, the Eagles are now Super Bowl champions. This is their second Super Bowl title. As for the Chiefs, though, they've got to look themselves in the mirror and try and figure out what to fix, because 15 wins wasn't good enough. The way they were winning games wasn't good enough. They won a lot of one-score games throughout the course of the season. Dave, what do you think they need to fix?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? I mean, I don't think that there was anybody at any point during the season that thought that the Chiefs were as dominant as their record said they were,
mm-hmm.
right? They were. They were winning close games. Their defense was keeping them in it. I think they've got to really go back and take a harder look at their offense and figure out how to get more production, right? You've got a Hall of Famer in Mahomes, another one in Kelce. You need a more solid run game, probably, and you need to rethink your offense a little bit just because you're not dominating teams the way you used to.
How long is Kelce going to go?
Right.
I mean, they did get a steal in the draft with the kid from Texas, Worthy.
Yes, Xavier Worthy.
To replay, and I'm not saying he's as good as Tyreek Hill, but he's a speedster.
He gives
him that element. But that offensive line looked horrible.
No, that's been the biggest question mark, honestly, because ever since Juwan Taylor has come over to Kansas City, it seems like that the offensive line has been the biggest question mark throughout the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you're just not seeing. I don't think we're as much as we're used to Mahomes being a playmaker and making these just fantastic and incredible, you know, just dishes out of nowhere. He's slowing down a little bit. He's been in the league a little bit longer. He's taken more licks, you know, so he's maybe not quite as mobile as he was when he came in the league and was dominant when he first started.
You know, earlier, Alex, we talked about why John actually isn't here tonight, John Long.
Yeah.
And I think he is probably ill because we picked the winners last week. And I think he picked Kansas City, if I remember right. So that means that I beat him in our Pick'em League at work. I beat him here. He's a very competitive guy. But you would think he would be used to this by now, this beating that I've been putting on him. So he couldn't even face us tonight. I get it. I don't blame him.
It's actually, he's not sick. It's shame. He's just not coming out of his house. It's shame.
That's all the hot tea that he's chugging back home. That's all it is. It is shame tea. So now, gentlemen, the NFL offseason is finally here. Later on in the show, we'll also talk about some Packers offseason wish list for you, because there are a couple of big names that have requested trade. Who are going to be on the trade block this offseason, looking at Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, Cooper Kupp, what's going to happen with Devontae Adams as well. And there are a lot of teams that are going to be looking to unseat Philadelphia. And don't forget, you still have Detroit, even though they lost coordinators. You now have Washington, who's come on and is looking like a first-class organization. First time we can say that since Daniel Snyder is no longer owning that particular franchise. You've got Tampa, who's still a force with Baker Mayfield. They still got to figure out what they need to do with their offense. But right now, as we're sitting here, the Packers, they need to find a way to unseat Philadelphia and to get themselves to be a contender.
Well, if you look at the playoffs, what defense held the Eagles to the least amount of points?
It was Green Bay.
It was Green Bay by far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not into moral victories, but they might not be that far off.
They might not be. They might not be. The other thing that I've noticed is, looking at Green Bay, we'll get into this, obviously, when we dive into our wish list later on. Green Bay just needs a couple of playmakers. That's what they need. They need somebody that can go out and get plays. They had one in Josh Jacobs last year. They had one defensively in Xavier McKinney. Now you're going to need to try and stack the deck via trade or via free agency in order to make a run for next year. Dave?
Yeah, I think most of their needs are going to be on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I know that Matt just threw out the stat that they held the Eagles to the fewest points. But I think that's probably going to be their biggest need. They need a good pass rush. They also need to be able to handle mobile quarterbacks better.
Yes.
You know, watching them play all year, if you had even a semi-mobile quarterback, they got picked apart.
Yeah.
They just couldn't handle it.
You look at Jalen Hurts, obviously, last year, picked them apart, especially in the second half in the playoff game. Jared Goff, even though he's not necessarily mobile, he can still move around a little bit. He picked them apart. You look at Caleb Williams, he picked them apart. They have got to find game changers in the pass rush game in order to make that next step.
The Packers did a great job with their pass rush against average teams.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They did not get after the quarterback in the big games. Like you said, the one that gets me is Jared Goff.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Jared Goff in the Packer game versus when they played Washington, and it's like, you put some pressure on this guy, and he's a whole different player.
Exactly.
And Matt Stafford was the same way with the Lions. If you could pressure Matt Stafford, and Matt Stafford's very good, don't get me wrong, but you pressure him, and he'll throw the ball around.
Is there something to it, though, that there needs to be? I feel like the Packers' pass rush is not coordinated. It's just whoever gets there, right? I think there needs to be a little more coordination between the pass rush and the way that they collapse the pocket to try and force him into a certain situation. I feel like when you watch the Packers' pass rush, it's just whoever gets there and gets the quarterback first gets him.
Well, that's exactly what could be the case with Jeff Hafley as well, because this was his first year as a defensive coordinator, and he's already getting looked at for potential head coaching searches, too. That's something to look at for next year.
And did he have his players for his style?
That's a good point, yeah, because when you look at it, most of Green Bay's players were in the 3-4. You know, we're in the 3-4. That was previously under Joe Barry. Before him, Mike Pettine. Before him, Dom Capers. So it could be the fact that they just need to switch up their personnel a little bit to more coordinate with Jeff Hafley's style. Very well could be the case. Agreed?
I absolutely agree with that.
All right. That's going to wrap up our Super Bowl talk here in the Sports Queue on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Matt Tyler and Dave Long here with us on this wonderful Wednesday evening. I'm glad that I haven't gotten your name wrong yet, Dave. We'll go ahead and take a break. Alyssa Lampy's in the house. We're going to chat some Hatchet Girls Wrestling. That's next here on the Sports Queue on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Queue on WJJQ.
The way we use our homes is changing. And as your local Carrier experts, we're here to help you improve your indoor comfort. From optimizing the performance of your heating and cooling system to ensuring your indoor air is cleaner and healthier, we're committed to delivering premium comfort and helping you breathe a little easier. Serving most of northern Wisconsin since 1958, contact Hilke's LP Gas for your cooling comfort. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. It's now 5:47 here at our WJJQ studios. And it is now time for our hatchet interview of the evening. And joining us right back in the air chair for the second time this wrestling season, Hatchet Girls Assistant Wrestling Coach Alyssa Lampe. Alyssa, welcome to the show and thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me on.
Let's just go ahead and have that mic a little bit closer to your mouth there if I could. Oh, let's see. Make sure, maybe that cord's like wrapped around you. Could you fix that? There you go. Try and move it up a little bit.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. I'll turn up your mic just a little bit there. That should work fine. All right, so, Alyssa, you have completed your first regular season of coaching, obviously. What have you thought about the experience being on the mats?
It's been awesome. The girls have really taken to the sport, I think, having never done it before, a lot of them. So they've kind of, like, caught the bug and fallen in love with it, which is great to see because, I love to see that with wrestling because it's such a hard sport, and if you don't fall in love with it, it's going to be a long season, so...
So, Coach, right now, looking at the squad, you had over 30 girls on the team this year. What has been the best part about coaching this particular team?
I think the way they treat each other, seeing how they have each other's backs and they're there for each other. And I love seeing that. I love that they feel like they're part of a family. And with wrestling being such a hard sport, I think that's important, having that support and that family aspect to it.
Again, talking here with Hatchet Assistant Girls Wrestling Coach Alyssa Lampe here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Alyssa, let's go ahead and talk about your regular season with it being now wrapped up. What do you think was your best invite of the season?
Probably the one that was a couple weeks ago in Eau Claire. We were the third place team, first Wisconsin team. I think we won some matches on the backside. Some girls took some tough losses in the beginning of the day and then wrestled really hard on the backside to get those points for the rest of the team and knock some other team points down for the other teams. So,
right now, looking at this team here, Alyssa, give me a couple of underclassmen you've been impressed with this year.
A lot of them. like Nora Mann, Abby Schertz, Kaylee Roberts, Alina, I'm going to mispronounce her name, probably, something. They call her Circus. Cammy, yeah. There's a lot of ones that, had they not told me they'd never wrestled before, I wouldn't know. Like, that's just how good that they've, like, come along, and it's been very impressive and very, worthwhile for me to see.
And talking here with Hatchet Assistant Girls Wrestling Coach Alyssa Lampe here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. So, Alyssa, regular season is now over. Postseason begins for you this week. We'll get into the matchup in just a second. What are you going to be looking for from this team in the postseason?
I think whatever goals they have, whether to make it to state or to finish out the season strong, whatever goals they have, that they can accomplish that, and that I and the other coaches have provided a way for them to do that. And then to just look at their results and see what can I improve on if I want to continue wrestling. Obviously, get better for, a lot of them said that they wanted to get better for track and stuff. So kind of paving that way so that they can improve their track PRs and stuff. So
let's go ahead and talk about your regional meet coming up this Friday here, Alyssa. You're down in Wausau West. It's a big gym. Why don't you give me a couple of teams that you have your eye on that you think could be tough competition for you? Let's go ahead and talk about, let's go ahead and figure out now then, what do you think will be the strongest weight class that you're going to bring forth this Friday?
I think definitely our 120 Elise is a strong contender. Kylie Peissig, our 107, is a strong contender too. A lot of them, like, probably will surprise me. Cadence had a really good last meet. She's really coming along, and she's one of the ones where I'm like, man, you've never wrestled before, but just how she moves her body, and she's so strong, and she's been really impressive, and I think I'm going to be very, very happy with the results.
What do you think your team needs to do to be successful Friday?
I think just believe in themselves. That's a big part of it is, you know, it's basically a fight. You know, you're fighting against somebody else. All the work's done. So just believing in yourself, believing that you can make it on and continue to sectionals and state, that's going to be on them. Obviously, like the coaches, we believe in them. We believe that they've put the work in, that they've done what they needed to do to make it to state. So it's on them now. They have to believe in themselves.
Coach, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
I just think I'm so happy that I volunteered this year, and it's, you know, probably going to be one of, like, the biggest memories that I have of coaching in my career will be coaching this team. So,
again, the WIAA Division II Girls Wrestling Meet is Friday at Wausau West. Fairman Orthodontics Radio Pre-Meet Show begins at 4:40. Opening duels are at 5 o'clock. And Tony Derleth will join me in the broadcast booth Friday night. Hatchet Assistant Girls Wrestling Coach Alyssa Lampe. Alyssa, thank you very much for joining me, and good luck on Friday.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Q right after this on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. High school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Tired of the same old investment strategy? It's time to invest smarter. WSG's proactive risk optimization strategy designs your portfolio based on current risks to help you navigate today's challenging markets. We strive to optimize your investments so you can focus on your goals. Ready for a new approach? Call Wealth Strategy Group at 715-453-0722. Or visit us at WSGinvest.com. With Pro, it's time to invest smarter and take control of your financial future.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboard serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Dave Long, and Matt Tyler back here with you. Thank you very much to Alyssa Lampe for joining me on the show here for tonight. We'll also be airing that interview during the Fairman Orthodontics Radio Pre-Meet Show coming up at 4:40 on Friday for the WIAA Division II Girls Meet in Wausau West.
I have one really interesting Super Bowl stat here.
Oh, there you go. Let's keep it going.
This is from my stat man, my son Kyle.
whose voice you didn't recognize. Anyway.
Teams that have had a first-round bye going against a team that didn't have a bye in the Super Bowl are 0-11 against the spread and 1-10 straight up. Only winner was the Steelers over the Cardinals in the last 11 years.
Wow. That is surprising.
So you would think the bye's an advantage.
It's not. And we were, you know, Matt and I, we were talking about this earlier in the football season. I think the NFL should just do away with the first round bye. Mm-hmm. I really think they should, and get rid of the seventh playoff team. It's ridiculous. To be perfectly frank, make it a 1v6, a 2v5, and a 3v4 matchup, because the NFL could still make money off of it. It'd still be a triple header, which is what you want on any given day. And Matt just had his jaw drop, and I don't know why.
No, nothing.
It doesn't surprise me, that stat, though. I mean, I flash back to the year that the Packers had a dominant run.
Yes.
And they sat Rodgers the last week. Then they had a bye. And you could tell. It had a negative effect on them.
Yeah, exactly.
They just weren't the same team.
That was when they were the defending champions.
Right, correct.
Yep, exactly. Meanwhile, speaking of postseason, speaking of the playoffs.
Playoffs?
We've got some high school playoffs coming up in the next couple of weeks. So in case you missed it, the high school hockey brackets were released. The Tomahawk Hatchets are the number one seed in their sectional. They will be playing against number 8 seed Rhinelander next Thursday night at Sarah Park. And ladies and gentlemen, I've said this once, I'll say it again. If you have not gotten the chance to see this team live, please go out to the postseason. It's going to cost you money because it's a WIAA event. But if you are able to go out and watch this team, they're going to have two home playoff games if they end up beating Rhinelander. They'll be playing either Pines or Antigo if they get that far. And then the sectional final is just a trip down Highway 51 to Mosinee. Like, it is so easy. If you have not been able to watch this team, come out, watch them, pack Sarah Park. This team has a legitimate chance to do something special this year.
Absolutely worth the price of admission.
Yes.
And they were good last year. They're much more exciting even this year.
Yeah, and I think what's helped has been two things. One, Jet Riley being brought up. He is a freshman, and he already has the Hatchet single season record for most points. Like, that is unbelievable. And the improvement of Braden Lamer has been a huge boost for this team, because him going along with Austin, that has really, really helped this Hatchet team to be the contender that they are.
Yeah, you know, we were kind of talking about this before the show, but the way that they have so many options available to be scorers, you know, I mean, Austin is a great player, and he's a great kid to watch, and you know, I root them all on. But when you have so many threats to score, he doesn't need to be the dominant performer anymore.
No. No, and you know, the thing is with him, the reason why he struggled so much is because all the attention was brought to him. Now you can't focus on only him to set up the offense. You have to focus on everybody else in order to get something going. In addition to the hockey brackets, the girls' basketball brackets will be released this upcoming Sunday, and our very own resident high school girls' bracketologist, Tim Albert, has the Hatchets pegged for a number 5 seed in the postseason, which would set them up against either number 12 seed, which would be Clintonville or Sturgeon Bay. The selection show is actually going to be aired on ABC the Sunday at 11 a.m.
Yeah, and I think Tim really knows his stuff, and they probably are right there. The only thing that I could see possibly happening is Tomahawk sneaking into a 4 on the
potentially
4, on the 4 line, just because of how brutally tough our conference is.
Yeah.
Strength of schedule.
Yeah, and again, Matt, you and I talked about this also last week. Really, the teams that are in the mix right now in that 3-6 spot are Tomahawk, you've got Seymour, you've got Menominee Indian, and the team that seems to be separating from that squad, I believe, is Peshtigo as well. So you've got, you know, Wittenberg-Burnhamwood, who's been undefeated the whole season. Freedom, who's been a dominant program throughout the last couple of years. That girls' basketball sectional is going to be very intriguing as to how it turns out.
You know, it's been a lot of fun watching this team play throughout the year. You know, as you guys both said, the level of competition in the GNC is just, just crazy. You
it
know,
is.
Obviously, you've got Lakeland and Rhinelander, Medford, Mosinee. I mean, that's just it's just a murderer's row, you know. But kudos to them for playing really tough and putting them in a position to be competitive in the postseason.
Well, we talked about this too, Dave, on other shows. You have Lakeland's got two Division I athletes. Rhinelander potentially has one
with Auburn Clark if she stays healthy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then Mosinee's got one in Jersley.
Mm-hmm.
So that's four Division I athletes in our conference. That's impressive.
And the other thing is, there might be a fifth one for that Madison Bumgarner down at Medford as well.
Yeah, and there's another one. I can't think of her name, but I don't know if she plays basketball, but there's another softball player for Mosinee that was a freshman last year that could definitely be a Division I player. She was the first baseman or second baseman.
Okay, that's something to pay attention to as well. Man, hard to believe it that the winter season's already wrapping up. This is going to be essentially the equivalent of burnout week for me. Over the next couple of weeks, I should say. Coming up on part two of the Sports Q here on WJJQ, Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee. I got the chance to sit down with him earlier in the day. We're going to chat the Bucks trade deadline moves. We'll also play some Mascot Madness. We're going to test Dave's knowledge on high school mascots, and maybe we'll we'll also sneak in an NFL quiz as well for him. See if he knows that as well. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwood's 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Snow falling 11 degrees here at our WJJQ studio. 6 o'clock and time for news.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. President Trump spoke to Russian President Vladimir Putin today about ending the war in Ukraine.
I think I can say with great confidence he wants to see it ended also. That's good.
Trump spoke to Ukrainian President Zelensky as well, but indicated there will be more contacts with Putin without the Ukrainian leader.
We think we're going to probably meet in Saudi Arabia the first meeting. Hasn't been set, but not too distant future.
In Brussels, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth also told European defense chiefs that Ukraine won't be the same.
We want, like you, a sovereign and prosperous Ukraine. But we must start by recognizing that returning to Ukraine's pre-2014 borders is an unrealistic objective.
Instead, he said Ukraine should prepare for a negotiated peace settlement to be backed up by international troops. Tulsi Gabbard was sworn in today as the Director of National Intelligence.
I, Tulsi Gabbard, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Senator Mitch McConnell was the only Republican to vote against her confirmation. Immigrant rights groups have sued the Trump administration for access to immigrants transferred to Guantanamo Bay. CBS's Camille Montoya Galvez reports it's not just dangerous criminals the administration's sending there, but low-risk migrant detainees as well.
This undermines the messaging from the administration that Guantanamo Bay would only be used to house and detain the worst of the worst. But in other ways, it does reinforce a message that the administration has communicated to the public repeatedly, and that is that no one in the U.S. illegally is now protected from detention and deportation.
President Trump says the Kennedy Center's board has voted unanimously to make him the new chair. CBS's Stacey Lynn has reaction.
A longtime Kennedy Center patron told CBS News it's, quote, totally inappropriate, horrifying, and unprecedented for him to call himself chairman. She added, this is a very sad and unsettling time for the arts in this country.
It's the first time a U.S. president has removed his predecessor's Kennedy Center chairman and taken the job himself. A new inflation report out today showed grocery prices soaring, and that includes hard-to-find eggs. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
The index for eggs increased by 15.2% in a single month, the largest increase in the egg index since June of 2015.
The numbers, she says, make it highly unlikely the Fed will cut interest rates anytime soon. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
A popular company that makes microchips that help pet owners find lost cats and dogs has suddenly gone out of business. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez has more.
The American Animal Hospital Association says Texas-based Save This Life database has been wiped out. So if your pet's chip is scanned, contact information won't show up, and you need to re-register it with another company. Dr. Mike Grace at Flying Cloud Animal Hospital in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, says it's worth the trouble.
Get your pet's chip.
shift, it definitely can help get them back to you. We've had a number of pretty interesting scenarios where pets get returned.
The website to visit, freepetchipregistry.com. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
The owners of a pot farm in western Massachusetts are suing a farm next door, claiming its operators ruined thousands of pounds of weed with pesticides. The estimated cost to the marijuana growers, $17 million. I'm Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:06 p.m. and a very good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook, and you're tuned in to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. 11 degrees here in the Northwoods with some snow still falling. We'll have our interview with Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee coming up next. We're going to do some mascot madness and maybe sneak in an NFL quiz for good old Dave Long here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Here's Brittany Merlot with your weather forecast.
The forecast for the Northwoods. Light snow this evening winds down around midnight. Then we crash cold, falling to temperatures near 0 degrees. And on top of that, the winds get feisty, so we have to battle a wind chill. That continues to be the case throughout tomorrow. Highs only reach 12 degrees, feeling more like zero, but the sun will be shining. It'll be partly sunny. We fall frigid once again tomorrow night, and for Friday, snow strikes. Looks to arrive mid-afternoon. Through the late evening, we could get 2 to 4 inches. Some snow still could linger on Saturday, but otherwise, mainly cloudy and breezy. Highs in the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot for WJJQ.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. It's now time for our state interview of the day. And joining me on the line once again from ESPN Milwaukee is Alex Stroh. Alex, thank you very much for joining me, my friend.
Always good to catch up with you, even when it's snowing like crazy here in Milwaukee, Cook. Glad you're staying nice and dry up there. Well, good old Rhinelander.
You mean Tomahawk.
That's what I meant.
Of course it is. So, Stroh, let's quickly go over the Bucks trade deadline acquisitions really quickly. Just to recap, the Bucks ended up trading Chris Middleton and A.J. Johnson to the Washington Wizards, which ultimately became Kyle Kuzma and Patrick Baldwin Jr., plus a second-round pick. Then the Bucks ended up trading Patrick Baldwin Jr. to the Spurs. After that, they traded DeLon Wright to the Knicks. Then, right at the buzzer, they acquired Kevin Porter Jr. from the Los Angeles Clippers for Marjon Beauchamp. So, Stroh, looking at these moves that the Bucks made at the deadline, what did you think of them?
Yeah, I mean, the initial thought was they probably got a little bit healthier, they got a little bit younger, they got a little bit cheaper, but I don't know that they got a whole heck of a lot better. I mean, the good news with Kyle Kuzma specifically is that's a guy you hope can float into this lineup and become that consistent third scoring option. I feel like you and I have been a broken record with you the last couple of weeks anytime we talk Bucks, right? Who is going to be that consistent third scoring option?
Mm-hmm.
I think they have it now, but Kyle Kuzma is not he's not a world class scorer by any means. He provides you a little bit more flexibility in terms of your depth and in terms of your bench, but probably a much better option defensively is Chris, since he's been dealing with these injuries, hasn't been the world class defender maybe he was at one point in his career. So, all in all, I think these were good moves in terms of the long term when it comes to some of the cap things that play into this, but all in all, I don't know that they catapulted themselves into championship expectations all of a sudden with some of these moves.
So, Stroh, right now looking at this team, they're currently sitting at 29-25, which is still surprisingly good for fifth in the Eastern Conference. However, they've lost 8 of their last 10 games. And, outside of Kuzma, being added to that, they've lost to the Warriors on Monday night. They've also lost to the Grizzlies last week. What do you think Kuzma can do for this particular team?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what I was just talking about, right? You're looking for a consistent third scoring option offensively. He does that. I think defensively he can guard 2 through 4. So that's a little bit, some good flexibility defensively depending on what lineup you trot out on any given night. Obviously, you're going to be missing Giannis here for a couple of games, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a moment. But
yeah.
I'm intrigued with what he can do. I don't know how much you can take away from his stint in Washington because they've been so dang bad, right?
They're
the worst team in the league. He was their second top scorer, but how much does that matter when you've won 8 games all season? At least that's what they were at when they traded for him last week. So all in all, I'm super intrigued to figure out what Kuzma is on this Bucks team and how he finds their identity. But obviously, you're running out of time. Already mid-February, you've got the All-Star break coming up. And then you've got about 2 months to figure out exactly what your identity is as a team. And Kuzma's obviously going to be a huge part of that. Fitting into that starting lineup, probably getting somewhere between 30 and 34 minutes a night. He's going to be a huge part of whatever this team is going forward. And like I said, I don't know if they've catapulted themselves into the championship conversation quite yet, but maybe if 2021, 2022 Kuzma goes ahead and appears in 2025, maybe you've got an outside shot.
Again, talking here with Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Stroh, obviously, the news broke last week that the Bucks will be without Giannis Antetokounmpo through the All-Star break. He'll be missing the All-Star game with a calf strain. And that's part of the reason why the Bucks have been struggling for the last few games. What does he need to do to get healthy? Because it seems like that every single time the Bucks go on this bit of a run, they hit a snag with an injury to one of their star players.
Yeah, well, to answer your question, I hope he listens to his doctors and not me, because I don't really have a good rehab plan on that one, Cook. But look, I mean, I was doing the math. I think he can only miss 6 more games before he's ineligible for postseason awards, given some of the, you know, back-to-backs he's taken, days off, and all the in-between. So they would love him back, obviously, in terms of win-loss record and in terms of when they play their best basketball, for obvious reasons. But the other part is, this is a guy who's in the MVP conversation. He's in the first-team All-NBA conversation. He can only miss 6 more games before he's ineligible for those. Luckily, the Bucks only have their game tonight against Minnesota before the All-Star break. But we don't really have a great idea of how long this injury is going to linger. Is he going to miss games coming out of the All-Star break next weekend? Is he going? Because, I mean, they play 3 games in 4 days next week, Thursday the 20th, Friday the 21st, and Sunday the 23rd. Are we going to see Giannis in that stretch? So that's the stuff I'm really intrigued by, Alex, to see what is the exact timeline. Because we've seen various reports. Is it through the All-Star break? Is it going to be a little bit after the All-Star break? I don't know how big of a concern this is right now. So that said, get healthy, because obviously they're going to need him come playoff time.
So, Stroh, right now, looking at this team the way that it is, again, they're limping into the All-Star break. Damian Lillard also not playing tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves with a hamstring injury. So the Bucks are, you know, grasping at straws heading into tonight. What do you think now is a realistic expectation for this Bucks team, since there's probably not going to be any more moves made this year?
Yeah, I mean, and if there is, they're going to be pretty inconsequential, I would guess, right? You're not picking a sixth man off the street at this point, probably. So,
right.
It's a good question. You know, your guess is as good as mine. Obviously, when you have guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard on your roster, the expectation is this should be a championship team. But what we've seen recently, this is a team that's lost 6 of their last 8. Like, they're not playing like a championship team. They're playing like a team that might win a first-round series. And coming off of the disappointment last year in that opening round loss to the Indiana Pacers, you better hope they can back this up.
Yeah.
Obviously, the window is only open for so long with one of the best players on the planet, and Giannis. And this is, once again, a year where you have to capitalize. So while they are not certainly playing their best basketball as of late, when Giannis has been out, they've lost 3 of 5. You better hope that once he returns, this is a team that has found themselves offensively and defensively. When you've got guys like Giannis and Brooke Lopez defending the rim, you give yourself a chance on any given night, and you still play the games for a reason. So can they go ahead and win the finals? Yeah, they could prove me wrong. I just think this is a team that probably maxes out in the second round as it stands right now. But I hope I end up eating my words and they flip a switch after the All-Star break.
Well, let's hope so. Talking here with Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Stroh, let's also go over the other two additions really quickly the Bucks made. Jericho Sims, who is a backup center for the Knicks, and also Kevin Porter Jr. from the Clippers, which is a very, very up-and-down career for him. He was averaging 20 points per game in Houston. Then he had some legal trouble. Last year, he signed a minimum deal with the Clippers, has appeared in just 32 games this year. Do you think those two could provide a bit of a boost for the Bucks off the bench?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by Jericho Sims. I don't believe we've seen him in a Bucks uniform yet. Didn't play the other night against the Warriors. Well, we've seen him in the uniform. I just don't think he's taken off the warm-up, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And as for KPJ, let's start with him, because I think he's the more interesting acquisition, a guy that could actually play some minutes. Doc Rivers hasn't put him fully into the rotation quite yet. Those minutes still going to guys like Gary Trent Jr. and A.J. Green off the bench. But he's seen a little bit of time here in his early stint in Milwaukee. he has had an up-and-down career. And it's really important you point that out, because for a guy that had high hopes and really thought, you know, that could be a guy that's in a cracked a starting rotation on a decent team in the NBA, it just hasn't worked that way for him thus far. But he is a solid three-point shooter. Hasn't been terrific this year, only shooting 24% from outside, but overall in his career, just a touch under 35% from outside. You hope he can find a shot a little bit. You hope he can crash the boards and give you somewhere between 12 and 15 good minutes on any given night as your eighth or ninth man off the bench. The Jericho Sims move, I don't know what to make of him quite yet, Alex, to be real honest with you, right? Because you've got good size with Giannis and Brooke and Torian Prince and Bobby Portis still. He's a guy that I don't think will play a ton, but if I'm not mistaken, he's still pretty young. Like, I think he's only 26, so he's still got some time in this league to figure it out, but he can give you a good couple minutes, grab you a couple boards off the bench. But I imagine he's a guy we probably won't see a ton of, especially once we get to the postseason.
All-Star break for the Bucks begins tomorrow. Their game tonight is against the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Target Center in Minneapolis. Tip is at 7. Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee. Stroh, thank you very much for joining me. Look to have you on again, man.
Yes, I love talking to the people of Tomahawk, Alex.
Yes.
If you take the 30-minute car trip to Rhinelander, say hello to the people of Rhinelander, but I apologize to the people of Tomahawk. I love you, Tomahawk. That's on me.
All right, no problem. Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I think we need to get him up here so we can have him figure out the difference between Tomahawk and Rhinelander here in the Northwoods. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Q right after this here on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Start the new year with confidence and a safe, reliable ride from Bremen Merrill Ford. Here's how they make your vehicle buying experience easier than ever. Their top-rated sales team doesn't just meet expectations, they exceed them. Ranked among the best in customer satisfaction, their team is committed to helping you find the perfect vehicle stress-free. And let's talk value. Bremen Merrill Ford offers the absolute best prices on all new and used trucks and SUVs. Plus, their impressive selection of late model vehicles has been inspected and reconditioned by factory-trained Ford technicians. Because this winter, you deserve to drive with peace of mind. So whether you're hitting the snowy roads or planning your next adventure, your perfect vehicle is waiting at Bremen Merrill Ford. Visit them off exit 211 South in Merrill or online at BremenMerrillFord.com.
It's easier than you think at Bremen Merrill Ford.
Hi, this is Matt Tyler from Wild Rivers Group Real Estate of Tomahawk and serving all of the Northwoods area. We have buyers and need listings. Are you thinking about selling your home? If so, give me a call at 715-490-1820. The market is still hot, and now is the time to list your property. I will give you all the details on what your property is worth in today's market and help you find a buyer. Call me, Matt Tyler, at 715-490-1820 or stop by our office at 1414 North 4th Street in Tomahawk. You can also check us out online at wildriversgroup.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Matt Tyler, and Dave Long here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Thank you very much to Alex Stroh from ESPN Milwaukee Chat and Milwaukee Bucks talking about the moves they need to make at the trade deadline. The All-Star break for them begins after tonight's game when they have Minnesota. They're going to be playing without Giannis and without Damian Lillard also tonight. So Bucks are going to have a steep hill to climb tonight. We're going to go ahead and stick with the NFL, though. So, as it was told to us before the show, Dave, his specialty is football, from what I understand. According to John, according to Matt, according to from what I hear. And Matt has been bugging me with Super Bowl trivia. So we are going to do a top 10 Super Bowl performances. All right?
Okay.
All right? Are you guys ready?
Yep.
All right, let's cue the music up. Okay, gentlemen. Your job, Matt, we'll start with you on this, is to give me the top 10 performers in terms of rushing yards in Super Bowl history. Top 10 in terms of rushing yards. And Dave, you look a little nervous. That's fine. I'll tell you this right off the bat. You're more than welcome to use Matt for help.
Is this okay. Single game?
Single game. Single game.
Okay.
Single game performers.
I'm going to take number one right off the list.
Yes.
Timmy Smith for the Washington Redskins.
Timmy Smith is correct.
206 yards?
204.
Oh.
204. Super Bowl 22 against the Denver Broncos.
I have the Rain Man of trivia here with me. I'll get one and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. So, Dave, it is to you. We'll go ahead and give you here. There is another Washington player on this list. And if you want hints about any of the guys on the list, feel free to ask.
I got a question that'll help you.
Okay.
Okay. Older Washington Redskin?
Older than Timmy Smith.
Yes.
Older than Timmy Smith.
You're going to have to give me many, many hints. I'll never
get okay. This one. So this guy, it was in Super Bowl 17. They were playing the Dolphins. He went to college at the University of Kansas.
You want me to step in and help
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm going
to
phone a friend of Matt on this one.
I'm going to go John Riggins on that one.
John Riggins is correct. Actually, let me do that for emphasis.
Yeah, yeah!
There we go. John Riggins, number 366.
I need more modern ones, all right? Ask the old ones of Matt here.
Okay, there is one post-2000. There's one post-2000. There's one that did it against Green Bay.
I know that one, too.
Go ahead.
Terrell Davis.
Terrell Davis
is... That was probably my one chance.
Correct. Terrell Davis, number 5.
Give Dave credit for that one.
All right, we'll give Dave credit for that one. So we got 1, 3, and 5, all right? Davis had 157 yards. By the way, Riggins, 166.
Ooh, now it's going to get a little tougher.
It will? Now, let me help you here. Let's focus on the one post-2000 here, okay?
Okay.
This guy went to Fresno State, Matt.
Usually when you give me the college, I like that, too.
Yeah.
But I am
so
blanking on
this. Let me think here. This running back was also on a same team that had one of the best single-season defenses in NFL history.
Baltimore? Is that a Baltimore running back?
It is not Baltimore.
Huh.
It's not a Baltimore running back.
That would have been my guess, yeah, too, Dave, with the defense. Wow. I am...
I will say this is the toughest one. Do you want to focus in on a couple of other guys? A couple of different guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's come back to that one.
Okay. We have a couple of Hall of Famers on this list.
Can I jump in and ask... Is there a St. Louis Ram on this list?
There is not a Ram on this list.
All right. Well, I'm just...
There are two Raiders on this list.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to go with one?
I'm blanking on his name completely right now. But
Marcus Allen against the Washington Redskins?
Marcus Allen is...
That was who you were looking for.
Marcus Allen, number 2 all-time, 191 yards against Washington.
Okay.
So you've got 1, 2, 3, and 5. The number 4 spot, let's see, went to Penn State.
Oh, I shame on me. This was my team when I was a kid. Franco Harris.
Franco Harris is
nice.
Correct.
Franco Harris. Okay.
Franco Harris, yep, 158. So now you've got the bottom 5.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There's 5 more.
Yeah. You've got, now, you do have a couple Hall of Famers on here. One of them, if I give him a hint, it will give it away. So I will say that this particular...
So give the hint and then give it to me.
He is...
Well, let's go with the Cowboys Hall of Famer.
Oh, so, Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith is...
Yahoo!
Correct! Emmitt Smith, number 9 with 132 yards.
I didn't get skunked.
Nope, you didn't get skunked. That's the important thing. That's all that matters here, all right?
So there's another Hall of Famer.
There's another Hall of Famer. There's actually a couple of them on here.
Oh, okay.
And the other one that you have on here is the other Raider who went to the same college as Marcus Allen, USC. Raiders really liked USC running backs in those days.
Yeah. Oh.
Another Raider.
Another Raider. Yep.
That's not throwing me. The USC one is throwing me.
I think I know who it is, and I just don't have the instant recall like you have, Matt.
Can you say who it was against?
It was against the Vikings. Super Bowl 11.
This is your era.
Yeah, I know. I can tell you the quarterback was Ken Stabler. I can tell you Cliff Branch was a receiver.
Yep.
And I, is it Mark Van Egan?
It was not Mark Van Egan. Ooh. Strike one. Okay, so let's see here. So you've got 1 through 5 and 9. You still got 4 spots left. One of them was on the only perfect team in NFL history.
Larry Zonka.
There you go. Yep, Larry Zonka.
Yeah!
Correct. Zonka had 145 yards in Super Bowl 8 against the Vikings. 3 of these 4 performances, by the way, came against Minnesota. Minnesota's run defense in big games. What else is new?
Was any were one of these that are remaining?
Yes.
On a losing team.
One of them was
Thurman Thomas.
Thurman Thomas is correct. Thurman Thomas with 135 in Super Bowl 25 against the Giants. That was the one where that was the first of 4 straight Super Bowl losses for the Bills. Now you've got the other Raider USC running back. And you've got the guy post 2000.
Is there a dual sport athlete on the list?
I will have to do some research on that. I am not incredibly sure.
Never mind. That's okay.
It would be. You know what? That's fair. It probably would be obvious. Let's see.
That would be cheating at trying to get an answer.
Yeah, sure.
Getting
let's focus on that post 2000.
Okay.
Okay.
So this guy, again, I told you he went to Fresno State. Yep.
Did he play his entire career with that team?
With the team that he won the Super Bowl
with?
Yeah. He did not, but this will probably be a big hint. He has a son that is in the NFL right now.
Wow. All right, I'm gonna cheat here, and I'm going to use my sick brother for a little bit of help. And I just wouldn't know, and I don't think Matt would either. Napoleon Kaufman?
Napoleon Kaufman. No.
Ooh.
Strike
well,
2.
Well, thanks, John. You keep your ideas to yourself.
Okay. So let's see. This guy, post 2000, also played in Arizona. He also played in Denver. The team that he won it with was Tampa Bay. Fourth round pick in 1998. The year he won it, he only rushed for 1 touchdown. Caught 59 passes for 477 more.
Wow.
Yeah. This is the toughest one on the list.
Yeah. I'm going to pass.
You're going to pass?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's focus on the other Raider USC running back then. So, again, I'll pull this up again. This was in Super Bowl 11. Again, he was a member of the Raiders when he did this. If I can get the name right. This is one of those. Let's see here. All right. Let's.
Fresno State part throwing me off, honestly.
Yeah. Again, Fresno State's the toughest. Fresno State's a tough one, not going to lie. So, the other Raider USC running back, another fourth round pick. The Raiders were the only team that he played on. And he won just the 1 Super Bowl. From Birmingham, Alabama.
You're going to have to give us that one.
You're going to have to give it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to take it. No, this couldn't be. Super Bowl 11 would
Super Bowl 11 was like 1977?
No, it was 77, 78. Yeah.
77, 78.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Give me a first name.
Clarence.
Wouldn't have got it.
Wouldn't have got it. Clarence Davis. We were looking for Clarence Davis.
Okay.
And the guy post 2000, as I'll time this out, you'll probably fall out of your chair when you say this. Michael Pittman.
Oh, okay.
Pittman.
Wouldn't have got it, though.
Michael Pittman in Super Bowl 37.
Okay.
So.
Well, I feel like an epic failure.
Okay. No, hey, you know what? Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. It's all right. That was a pretty tough one, though, right?
I like it. Yeah. That was good.
It was good. It was good, though.
Yeah. All right. All right. So you're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ at 6:30. Coming up on the next part of the show, we'll play some Mascot Madness, and we'll also talk our Packers offseason wish list. Your weather forecast is next.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Hi, this is Steve from Crossbridge Community Bank. We've spent a lot of time lately making sure your banking experience is what you expect. We recently added services that give you more transfer options for your money, better fraud detection, enhanced and easy-to-read printed and digital statements, and we're adding a new state-of-the-art account alert system that can tell you things like your account balance or when large checks clear. We are constantly improving technology to make banking easier for you. That's what a bank that puts purpose first looks like. Visit us today at crossbridge.bank.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Chance for snow tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 2 below. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. About an inch of snow tonight with another 3 to 5 inches Friday through Friday night. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, 11.
It has been a cold Northwoods winter. How is your furnace holding up? Might be a good time to call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox Signature Collection of furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Lennox is proud to be an official Energy Star partner and offer Lennox home comfort systems that save you energy and money. Call Premier today and enjoy the confidence in knowing that your furnace is ready for our Northwoods winter today and for many years to come. Josh will give you all the information about Dave Lennox Signature Collection with a furnace just right for your heating needs. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County A. Call 453-4700 and online at premierheatingcooling.com. See you at the WJJQ Home Show April 12th and 13th.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you along with Matt Tyler and Dave Long. They've got a little bit of help from his friends, by the way, to help out with that NFL trivia a little bit. Matt Tyler, John Long.
John didn't help.
John, no. So for the Raiders one, John, the initial thought was for him, Bo Jackson. Which,
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
That's exactly what I thought as well.
He has sick brain.
He does have sick brain. All right, so, Dave, I know that this is not your strong suit, but we're going to play a little bit of Mascot Madness here. Are you ready to play?
You bet.
All right, let's do it.
It is now time for Mascot Madness!
And we are going to go ahead and cue up the music. A little bit of millionaire music.
That's
for
right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll go ahead and just state this right off the bat. You guys get 10 schools here, 3 strikes. You guys are out. Very similar to what happened last time. Dave, I know this is not your strong suit, so Matt is more than willing to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
So
it might not be my strong suit.
Well, you know what? That's okay. All of these schools are from the Fox Cities area.
Okay.
All right.
I warn you, Matt, if I hear one that I can get, I'm just going to jump in and take it.
Do it.
Of course. Yeah. So, Matt, we're going to start with you. Your first one is DePere. DePere. Are they the Cardinals, the Redbirds, the Orioles, or the Blue Jays?
They are, because I know their top basketball player is going to Wisconsin next year, the Redbirds.
The Redbirds is correct. Well done. One for one. All right, so Dave, we're going to go to you. You're going to get John's selections then, all right?
Okay.
And again, Matt's more than willing to help you out.
So if Dave gets these wrong, they go on John's all-time
list. Yes,
they do.
Okay,
yes.
Good, good.
I don't have my own.
His win-loss record. Yes.
Okay. This is Green Bay East. Green Bay East. Are they the Devils, the Blue Devils, the Black Devils, or the Red Devils?
One more time, Alex, with those options.
Of course. Devils, Blue Devils, Black Devils, or Red Devils?
I'm going to take a guess here, and I think I'm going to lean towards Red Devils.
The Red Devils is correct!
Nice.
I had no help on that one. No help whatsoever.
No help whatsoever.
You've already got one more than John ever got.
Good job. Well done. All right, now on to the next level. You guys ready?
Yep.
All right, Matt. Yours is Random Lake.
Oh.
Wow.
Random Lake.
Okay.
The Ravens, the Regulars, the Rams, or the Rollers?
It's alliterative.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to go with the Rollers. I like Rollers.
The Rollers?
Yeah.
That is wrong. It was the Rams.
Okay.
The Random Lake Rams. All right. Yours is next, Dave. Strike one. Got two out of three so far. Yours is Little Chute. Little Chute. The Mustangs, the Horsemen, the Luck, or the Mailmen?
What was that first one again?
The Mustangs.
Mailmen sounds good, but I think that's probably not it. So I'm gonna go with that first one again, the Mustangs.
Mustangs? Correct. You guys are 3 for 4. Well okay. done.
No
well
help.
Done.
No help at all.
You give him all the easy ones.
I'm not trying to.
Not from Matt, not from Ryan Flynn, not from John Long. Nobody's helping here. I'm getting this all on my own.
All right. So Matt, your next one is, you were a pretty good basketball power for a couple of years. Kewaunee.
Oh.
Kewaunee. The Thunder, the Lightning, the Blizzard, or the Storm? Do you think you know this one, Dave?
It's a total guess for me.
If I was going to guess, I would lean towards the last one. I was thinking that before somebody anonymous on my phone texted me that might be the right answer. So I get a little credit, but I think you should consider going with the last one.
Okay.
The Storm?
The Storm it is.
All right, Storm it is. Correct!
Attaboy, Tyler.
Dave, way to go, Matt Tyler.
All right. Well done, Dave. Well done, Dave. All right. You guys are 4 for 5 so far. Here we go. Dave, yours is Two Rivers. Two Rivers. Are they the Raiders, the Purple Raiders, the Red Raiders, or the Silver Raiders?
I don't have a clue on this one. Not a clue.
One more time, Alex.
Of course. The Raiders, the Purple Raiders, the Red Raiders, or the Silver Raiders?
I'm going to invoke my inner Rochelle Hub spirit, and I'm going to say Purple Raiders.
Purple Raiders. Purple Raiders is correct!
Dave
Long coming in clutch.
Again, killing it. Again, nobody's helped me with this. Not Ryan Flynn at all.
Of course.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, are you guys ready to move on to the next one? Here we go.
Yep.
And you only got one strike so far, okay? Matt, yours is Cedar Grove, Belgium. Cedar Grove, Belgium. Are they the Ships, the Comets, the Rockets, or the Stars?
I'm leaning towards Comets.
Is that what you're going to go with?
Yes.
That's what I would lean towards. I don't know at all in this one.
Comets is wrong.
I found out the last second.
It's the Rockets. It's the Rockets.
Okay.
All right. So two strikes against you. So we only got one more left. Dave, this is your next one.
All right.
And again, Matt can help you. All right.
He's been helping me.
This is Mishicot. Mishicot. The Warriors. The Vikings. The Indians. Or the Clippers.
I'm not going to look at my phone this time.
Do you know this one?
I don't, but I think it's the Indians. That's kind of a guess. It just feels right.
Is that what you're going to go with?
Yes.
Wow.
That was all me.
Thank you.
It was confirmed to me by an anonymous source in the last second.
I'm taking a whooping here.
Man, all right. Okay, all right. So you guys got one strike left. Understand, okay?
All right.
Matt, this is your next one.
Okay.
No pressure. This is Laconia. Laconia. The Spartans. The Wolves. The Lions. Or the Bolts. Same colors as the Packers, green and gold.
I think it's Spartans. I think it's Spartans.
Are you going to go with Spartans?
I'm going to go Spartans.
Spartans. For Sparta.
This is Sparta.
And this is correct. Well done. Well done, gentlemen. All right. Okay. Last one. Dave, are you ready?
There's still more. Okay, all right.
There's one more. This is the last one.
This is it.
Here we go.
The grand finale.
Yes. Very serious music. Dave.
Another question.
Yours is Ashwaubenon. Ashwaubenon. Is it the Panthers, the Wildcats, the Lions, or the Jaguars?
I admittedly have no idea, so... My boy Matt's coming to the rescue here.
I think, Dave.
And we're thinking that we're going to go Jaguars.
Is that what you guys are going to go
with? We're going to go with Jaguars. Lock it in. Final answer. For $1 million.
Correct. Well done.
Okay, so the school superintendent is also a Tomahawk alum.
Really?
One Mr. Kurt Wires.
Yes. Okay.
Graduated in 1984, a couple years older than I am.
Well done.
Shout out to Kurt.
You guys did good. You got 8 out of 10.
That means we got $1 million, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Have Greg make the checkout today.
Okay. All right. Will do. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We've got Packers off-season wish lists next.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
John J. Schuene Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Schuene Construction of Tomahawk.
Comes with its own set of circumstances, and that's why the Auto House in Tomahawk keeps safety in mind while presenting their huge selection of pre-owned vehicles on their lot on North 4th Street. So when you decide it's time for a vehicle upgrade, consider the Auto House in Tomahawk. Gary's been doing business in Tomahawk the right way for over 4 decades, and that says a lot for a used car dealership. Safety and reliability are the first things he considers before a vehicle hits his lot. The selection of trucks and SUVs are second to none in the area, as is the sales and service philosophy at the Auto House. There's an ASE-certified mechanic on duty at the Auto House should you need service, and Gary also keeps rental vehicles available if you need one of those. So when safety and reliability matter, buy your next pre-owned vehicle at the Auto House on North 4th in Tomahawk. Check the website for all the information, autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net. Doing business the right way for over 40 years.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Matt Tyler, and Dave Long here with you on this Wednesday evening. It's now time for our Packers off-season wish list. Okay, gentlemen. So, Dave, obviously you were a late call, so if you don't have a wish list at all, that's fine. We're not going to hold against you. We're going to go to Matt's here. So, Matt, to give you perspective, I went back and looked at the numbers today. So with all the dead cap that's supposed to take place for Green Bay this offseason, Green Bay will have approximately $44.5 million to work with. Give me your wish list for Green Bay this offseason, my friend. There you go.
All right. Some of mine might be addition through subtraction. For instance, I would cut loose Jair Alexander. Now, if he is trade value, like maybe a Jair for Max Crosby deal, then you hang on to him. But that tips my hand. I either want Crosby or Myles Garrett.
Okay.
But if you, you know, that's trade. That's not free agency. Mm-hmm. I think the Packers definitely need help at corner. They have to have some help at corner. We talked about this often on the show, Alex. A number one wide receiver. I don't know if that's out there in free agency. I really don't know. I know everybody would love to see Davante Adams come back.
Yes.
I'm not sure Davante Adams is the answer. I like the idea of T. Higgins better, but up until that last game, I thought the Packers don't need a number one wide receiver. They can do it with wide receiver by committee until they played that Philadelphia game and nobody could separate. And then it was like, you need a number one receiver.
Well, you know what a number one receiver does for you? It just opens up the rest of the field, right? You've got to be so honest on a T. Higgins, on a Devontae, on a marquee name. You've got to be out there guarding them tight, and that's going to open up your young guys that, you know, to create that separation and make those plays.
Yeah.
Dave, do you have any ideas off the top of your head that you would like to see Green Bay add?
You know, it's not to follow too much after Matt here. I hate doing that, but just what he said. Right? We need some D-line help. We need some pass rushers. We need some guys who can really get in there and put some coordinated pressure on quarterbacks and containment. You know, quarterbacks in the NFL are so mobile now. It's so easy to get them outside the pocket, and then those D linemen, those DNs, never catch up to them.
Yeah,
right. You have to have them coming in from the backside, from pressure them from the side, to really try and keep them in the pocket, and then put the pressure on them from up front. So I want to see some more improvement on our D line this offseason.
So this is what I have. I have a full page dedicated to what I want to see from Green Bay. Okay, so let's go ahead and put this into perspective. If I'm Brian Gutekunst, and I think we can agree, Packers are in win now mode. They are in win now mode. The Super Bowl window is officially open. This is the time for them to go out and get some playmakers. So this is what I would do. Release Jaire Alexander, find a way of a trade for him. It doesn't matter. That is going to shore up $5.5 million. I would also restructure Kenny Clark's deal. That would save $7 million against the cap. And I did the math. I took a look also. $3 million in the Packers cap is going to go to draft picks. You factor all that in, the Packers will then have $55 million in cap space to work with in the offseason if you do those two. That's going to open up for a lot of moves. One free agent I would bring back from Green Bay, Brandon McManus. He's your kicker for the next few years.
Yep.
He's your kicker for the next few years.
Yep.
I think that they'll go out and get one of two receivers. This is what I would do. T. Higgins I would try and go out and get. If not, I would go for Chris Godwin. Let me explain. I know that he's coming off of a season-ending injury. But before he got hurt, he was on pace to break all of Tampa Bay's franchise single-season receiving records.
I think that'd be a great get.
I think that would be a very good get. And the market value has him only at $9.3 million against the cap for this upcoming season.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. You mentioned the cornerback room. I've got two free agent corners I will go after. Charvarius Ward from San Francisco and Carlton Davis from the Lions. Both of those two. Three-year deals. $7.5 million against the cap for the upcoming season. So there's your secondary. Short up, you want to go ahead and draft a safety as well. I'm not against that. This is what I would do for trades, all right? We brought up the idea of Max Crosby coming to Green Bay. I think it's a good move, but again, I think you would have to put Jaire Alexander in there if you're going to pull off that trade. So I'm going to say that Green Bay will pull the trigger and trade their next two first-round picks for Myles Garrett. And if you want to throw in another one of those young players, you can. Guess how much Myles Garrett's cap hit is for next season, guys?
Probably a front-loaded contract, so it's probably not that much.
$5 million.
Wow.
$5 million. Could you imagine bringing in Myles Garrett with that cheap?
The downside is you have to pay him the next year, right?
Yes. You would have to pay him the next year. Now, this year, I've got a backload contract that I think Green Bay will get. I think that the Packers should trade for another receiver. I would like them to go out and get Cooper Kupp from the LA Rams. Here's the reason why. Cooper Kupp is not this Triple Crown winner that he was 4 years ago. We're not trading him for that. What you are trading him for is a security blanket. That is what Jordan Love needs. Now, you could argue that he has that with Tucker Kraft, which he might, but you're going to need a security blanket also at the number at that receiver spot as well, and I don't see one for Green Bay. So I would trade Cooper Kupp for a third-round pick, Christian Watson, and Dontavian Wicks, and help shore up that receiver room a bit. So your top two receivers then would be Higgins or Godwin and Kupp, and then you got Reed and Dobbs to work with in the slot. Your guys' thoughts?
I guess with the Packers, I look at it like this. The players are there.
Yes.
They don't need depth. They've got a lot of young kids in young positions. They need a home run.
Yes, they do.
They need a home run offense. They need a home run on defense. And potentially maybe two if you think D-line and corner.
Yes.
So the money's there to do it. There's flexibility. Green Bay does not trade draft picks.
No, they do not.
Usually for those players. But maybe this is the year you have to think about it.
Speaking of which, one more guy I forgot to mention as well. Josh Myers is a free agent during the season. I'd go out and get Ryan Kelly from the Colts. Sign him to a one-year prove-it deal. See how he works with Jordan Love, and then go from there.
Yeah, Josh Myers, that's no big loss.
Well, O-line is probably one of the areas that we need more depth. You know, you talk about have much depth around you know, our team, or we have depth, but you know, we definitely need to go out and get some more offensive linemen. I actually would be okay, like you said, Alex, of trading or dealing Watson. You know, he's a dynamic playmaker. He's probably been our number one receiver the last couple of years, but he's always hurt. You know, and he doesn't bring the leadership to the team.
No, he doesn't.
That you need in a number one receiver.
No, you don't.
So I'd be okay with seeing him go.
He has the drops once in a while.
He does.
Afflicted by that too.
So. He does. He does. And by the way, John Long just tested the whole group. He approves of Cup. So there you go. So
well, I've got John's approval. I'm actually not in favor of Cup, John. What do you think about that?
Are you doing that just to spite him?
Maybe.
Brothers.
Oh, brothers always spiting each other. It's what I used to do with mine.
You done messed up, A.A. Ron!
But guys, I think that we're all in agreement here that the Packers need to go out and make a big splash in free agency. And one thing that we know about Brian Gutekunst, he is aggressive. He is aggressive in free agency. Because remember, he went out and got Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. How's that turned out? McKinney's an all-pro, and Jacobs is already becoming one of the better running backs in franchise history.
Well, he finished as the third leading yards.
Fourth leading rusher.
And he kind of got those signings were kind of quiet.
Yeah, they were.
They were kind of...
You know, Josh Jacobs was pretty big, but McKinney was under the radar, too.
Not a lot of fanfare there.
Yeah, not really a lot. But again, they need a number one receiver. They need a pass rusher. They could definitely get it in free agency via the trade if they want it. I don't think that this is the time for them to try and build through the draft.
Right. But like, the one area that Dave did mention is you do need some depth at offensive line. Mm-hmm. When Elton Jenkins went out of the game.
Oh, my gosh. It was game over for Jordan Love in that pocket.
Yeah. The two replacements, Telford was one, and I can't remember who the other one was, but it was penalty after penalty. You know, and going into the game, neither player had more than 10 snaps for the whole year. It was.
Well, because Elton Jenkins is not a guy that gets hurt.
No.
He's not a guy that gets hurt. He's one of the most durable players on the team.
Well, and our number one pick, Jordan Morgan, who they moved to guard, was not available because he was hurt.
Exactly.
And so that would have been your guy playing.
So you're going to need
depth there.
Yeah, you're going to need depth on the offensive line if you're going to do it. I wouldn't mind using a draft pick, though, on an offensive lineman this year.
No, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't either.
Back to the receiver conversation, and I'll give credit for John here texting us yet again because apparently he's not sick enough to stop listening to the radio. Anyway, you know, and he's saying bring Devontae back, and I like that as a veteran receiver. Over Cooper Kupp, honestly, you know, he's a familiar face. We know he's an excellent receiver. I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing him come back. And I don't know if you saw the interview. He said he would go basically anywhere except the Bears. So we still like the Bears. So, of course.
Here's my thing with Devontae. If he's released by the Jets, then I will open that door up. I'm not taking on $35 million against the cap next year.
No,
because he's not worth that much.
No.
But if he's released by the Jets. Plus, you also have to remember, Aaron Rodgers is going to sign with another team this year. He's probably going to go where Aaron goes, too. So you have to factor that in as well.
Yeah.
So, what it's worth. A lot to think about with the Packers offseason. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on WJJQ. Our final countdown and local sports are next.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Picture yourself moving freely without pain. At Health in Motion Physical Therapy, we turn that vision into reality. Hi, I'm Stephanie Ahrens, and whether you're dealing with back pain, sports injuries, or recovering from surgery, our mission is to get you back to doing what you love. Our dedicated team of therapists in Tomahawk tailors your treatment plan to meet your specific goals, because your journey to wellness is unique. We believe in tailored care, not cookie-cutter solutions. Worried about costs? We got you covered with affordable self-pay rates and a seamless insurance process, ensuring no surprises along the way. Our goal is simple, to help you feel better, faster, without unnecessary delays. So why wait? Reach out to Health in Motion at 715-453-6650 or visit us at himwi.com. Let's embark on your journey to a pain-free life together. So come on, choose Health in Motion for
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook, Dave Long, and Matt Tyler here with you. Hey, Dave, guess what? I didn't get your name wrong
today. That's impressive.
That is impressive.
John
Thank you.
Hey, Alex, my own name. I thought that the new guy was supposed to bring treats.
That's
a big, massive fail,
I am
Dave.
The treat.
Yeah, you sure are.
That is a very good point. You know what? Next time he comes on, he has to get bourbon for us. There we go. All right. So, taking a look ahead at local sporting events for the Hatchets coming up on Friday. Fairman Orthodontics Radio pre-match show at 4:40. Opening duels at 5 for the girls wrestling WIAA Division II regional meet. That'll be in Wausau West Friday night. Tony Derleth is going to join me in the broadcast booth.
Tony, That's the close one that you have, right?
Yeah, that's the close one that I have.
You're going to put some miles
on. Yes, I am. And speaking of miles to be put on, by the way, both basketball teams have Mosinee coming up also on Friday. Saturday, boys wrestling regionals have their meet in Hayward on Saturday. And Tony will be with me in the broadcast booth for that one as well. Fairman Orthodontics Radio pre-match show will begin at 9:40. Opening duels begin at 10. Also that day, the boys swimmers will have their sectional meet over in Ashwaubenon on Saturday afternoon. That'll be at noon. And the big one, of course, is the Tomahawk Hockey Great Northern Conference Tournament Championship game. They're taking on Mosinee in the title game at 7 o'clock. The Hatchets have clinched at least a share of the Great Northern Conference Championship. They lost in the tournament championship last year to Lakeland. They got the chance to rewrite that this year. And if they win, it'll be win number 20 for the Hatchets this year, which is already a single season record.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable.
It's insane.
Mm-hmm. And I've somewhat followed the hockey program. My nephew Jesse was part of that Dandy Dozen, the original
yes.
team that went to the state championship in 92, I believe, my nephew Jesse. So, I mean, where hockey has come from for Tomahawk, they are just really playing well.
They really are.
And there's so many people that are so proud of them. I'm talking to family members that are outside the city of Tomahawk, and they're listening to JJQ on the app, and they're just raving about Tomahawk hockey. So it's really nice to see.
Yeah. Kudos to Coach Riley and the entire staff and the kids. Yes. They're just doing a phenomenal job.
Yep, doing a phenomenal job. And by the way, girls' basketball brackets will also be released on Sunday. That'll be at 11 o'clock. It will air, I believe, on Channel 9 up here on ABC. So if you want to go ahead and figure out where Tomahawk will be playing, that's where to tune into. And then on Tuesday, if the Hatchet Boys wrestlers win as a team the regional meet, they'll compete in the sectional meet on Tuesday at 6 in Medford, about an hour 15 away from here. And then also basketball on that day, the Tomahawk girls will be back at home to take on Northland Lutheran. That'll be senior night for the Hatchets at 7:15. And then the Hatchet Boys will be in Rib Lake on Tuesday. That will get underway at 7:15 as well. And then next Thursday, the Division II hockey playoffs officially get underway. The number one seed Tomahawk Hatchets will take on number 8 seed Rhinelander. Zach Garner will join me in the broadcast booth. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show 6:35. Opening faceoff at 7. Other matchups in that sectional for those that want to know. Number 2 seed Mosinee against number 7 seed Medford. Number 3 seed Lakeland has number 6 seed Shawano. And number 4 seed Northland Pines is number 5 seed Antigo. The other Great Northern Conference team, number 6 seed Waupaca, will be taking on number 3 seed Homestead in Ozaukee on next Thursday in sectional number 4. That's a late start time also, 8 o'clock start time on a Thursday night. But gentlemen, that's going to wrap everything up. And allow me to ask, I always ask Matt this, and Dave, I will ask you this. Did you have fun, my friend?
You know, despite Matt being here, I had a lot of fun. Yes, I did.
Why does that not surprise me that you decide to go ahead and get after Matt?
He doesn't mean it.
He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it, he says. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Sports Q here on WJJQ. Dave, you did a phenomenal job. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
yeah,
Alex.
And thank you for filling in for your brother. We'll probably try and have you on at least once more, I think, in the next few, couple months.
Boot him off
whenever you want. Are you the older brother in this relationship? No, you're the younger one?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have that kind of authority.
No, I do not.
You don't at all. But Matt, thank you very much as always. I'm sure we'll have you on next week as well. And who knows, with boys swimming sectionals coming up this weekend, we might have a state qualifier or two in the house next week. So that's
awesome.
Something to pay attention to. Meanwhile, also be sure to stay tuned to the Sports Q every Wednesday at 5:30. Be sure to tune in for all of our Hatchet sporting events. They're available on our website, WJJQ.com, under the sports broadcast schedule. Thank you very much for tuning into the Sports Q here on WJJQ. For Dave Long and Matt Tyler, I'm Alex Cook. Have a sportacular week, and I'll see you all next week.
listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.